This is Ben Sparkman greeting you, Capital Community, from Florida. I'm very sad that we cannot be together in person, but I'm very thankful to this technology, which allows us to at least connect with each other over the Word of God, over prayer, for some of us gathering together and being able to enjoy the worship songs and singing that. So I'm very thankful to have this technology. Thankful to Josh and the others who have come along and helped us do this. Wish I could be there in person. It's strange addressing you, Capital Community, from a computer screen rather face to face. But again, we're going to trust the Lord to bless our fellowship and to anoint our time together. I'm going to be continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. I have enjoyed listening to the other sermons online, have benefited a lot from that, and am thankful to have the opportunity to talk to you more about the fruit of gentleness. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word gentleness, if it's something that excites you, challenges you, or kind of makes you think, huh, what does that really mean? I will date myself. Growing up in the United States, when I was about 7 years old until 9 years old, there was a fairly popular TV show on that was called Gentle Ben. It was a show about a family, actually in Florida, that had a bear that befriended the family, and with his gentleness really was a strength for the family, but also protected them from the wilds of Florida. Having friends oftentimes would come up to me and call me Gentle Ben. And I remember as a young boy, I hated that. Every time someone said, oh, Gentle Ben, it just made me feel weird. It made me feel weak. I didn't enjoy it at all. So I just have bristled against gentleness as a young man. So it's really good for me today to relook at that word gentle and what does it mean for us today. I think for some other people, they also have a view similar to me that gentleness is genderized. In other words, it tends to be an adjective or a noun that would relate more to women than to men. And I think sometimes in my background, I had that also. But I think through my study of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, it's freed me from that misconception as well. So I pray that as we go deeper into the fruit of the Spirit, specifically gentleness in verse 5:23, that we will be freed from that. But even more than some of these cultural barriers that we might see with the area of gentleness, we also might have some theological barriers that we don't think about. For example, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul talks about among these are faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And sometimes when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we would look at love, joy, and peace as kind of the, oh, that's the, so to speak, Trinity. Those are the big three. The other ones are maybe just leftovers and not as important. So patience would not be as important as love, joy, or peace or something like that. And certainly we could potentially look at gentleness in the same way. So was Paul really kind of going from a descending list of the important fruit of the Spirit down to the lesser important ones or least important ones? And then when I was looking more carefully and noticed that verses Galatians 5:22 actually has the first seven of the fruit of the Spirit. And then verse 23 picks up with number 8 and 9, the first one being gentleness. I'm thinking, wow, even the person who took the Bible in its letter form and broke it down into chapter and verse, even separated gentleness and self-control from the other seven fruit of the Spirit. And I just thought, oh, that's, again, a little bit of a slap in the face, so to speak, to gentleness. And I really don't think that is fair either. So what we're going to ask the Lord to do today is to lift our eyes up and to thank him for the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness and to allow us to more deeply understand what is meant by this and then how we can apply that into our daily lives right now. So with that word, let me open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we can even meet online. Though we cannot, most of us, meet face-to-face, you have given us the technology in this age to meet online. Father, we pray that you will bless the hearing of your word. We pray that through your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts and to our minds. And as a result, you would change us and mold us. And Father, I pray as the body of Christ in Beijing, we will express the fruit of the Spirit more and more as we abide in Christ, as we are filled with your Holy Spirit, and as we trust you to have a powerful witness through us in our lives to a community that needs you, that needs your gospel, that needs your truth, that needs love at this very time. I ask this prayer in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we continue to look at gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit, just wanted to review some of the great thoughts that we've had already in this series, and wanting to look at the context for verses 22 and 23 in Galatians chapter 5. And as the big context, we're reminded that the book of Galatians was written by Paul early in his missionary career, and specifically addressing the problems that he faced on the mission field, specifically in the province of Galatia. And here we see Paul promoting freedom that we get from the gospel. And so if we look at chapter 5, we see in verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So Paul is talking to us about the freedom that comes from a proper and a healthy and a correct understanding of the gospel of Christ. But Paul doesn't want us to misunderstand freedom, so he differentiates freedom from license. So if we continue on and look at verse 13, Paul continues to say, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." So Paul is attaching freedom to the ability to serve one another in love, not to gratify the sinful nature or give into the sinful deeds that we see Paul talking about later on in verses 19 and following. So here we see that Paul is differentiating between freedom and license. And the gospel is all about freedom, and it's for loving one another and serving one another. Another point that I want to bring out again that has also been mentioned is that interesting ending to this description of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul finishes the list of the fruit of the Spirit by saying, "And against such there is no law." And here I'll call these bookends. If you look at verse 18, chapter 5, verse 18, we see Paul says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And as I just mentioned in verse 23, Paul says, "Gentleness and self-control, against such things there is no law." So here Paul is again showing us that the freedom we have through the Spirit brings us from outside the yoke of the law and allows us to live and express our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the law cannot hinder us from doing that. It does not become a yoke of slavery, but we are freed up to live out the fruit of the Spirit as we love each other and as we serve each other. And lastly, as we look at the context of the fruit of the Spirit, again, it shows us that we are using the fruit of the Spirit, or we are expressing the fruit of the Spirit, verses 13 and 14, in order to love each other and serve one another, not devour each other. If you look at verse 15, it says, "If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." And then Paul goes on and continues to talk about the deeds of the flesh or the acts of the sinful nature in verse 19 and following. So we see that the context for this, Paul's discussion on the fruit of the Spirit, has everything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit by abiding in Christ, trusting in Christ, so that we as a body of Christ can serve one another, so we can love one another, and in opposite, that we would not bite or devour or destroy each other in our Christian witness. So that is the context we want to have as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and specifically gentleness. So what does gentleness mean? Well, this word gentleness in verse 23 is the Greek word protes, and it occurs 11 times in the New Testament, but always in other forms. This is the noun form, but in other forms we'll see the adjective. And then also there are 20 occurrences of the similar word in the Hebrew language, anan, which occurs 20 times in the Old Testament. So later on, as we go through this concept of gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to look a little bit at the Old Testament and look a little bit at the New Testament. So what specifically does it mean to be gentle? Well, one commentary tells us that the origin of meek in English, M-E-E-K, meek in English, comes from the Old Norse, which means gentle. Though perhaps a fuller understanding comes from the Greek origin, praios, which is what we have in Galatians 5:23. Praios is translated as strength under control. For context, in ancient Greece, war horses were trained to be meek, strong and powerful, yet under control, and willing to submit. So we see that the origin, both in English but also coming from the Greek, is associated with the idea of training war horses. And I'm going to quote another commentary which says a little bit more about that. When a horse passed the conditioning required for a war horse, its state was described as praios, or meek. The war horse had power under authority, strength under control. A war horse never ceased to be determined, strong, and passionate. However, it learned to bring its nature under discipline. It gave up being wild, unruly, out of control, and rebellious. A war horse learned to bring that nature under control. It would now respond to the slightest touch of the rider, stand in the face of cannon fire, thunder into battle, and stop at a whisper. It was now called meek. And I think that's a beautiful picture that frees us from this idea that gentleness is weak, not strong. Actually, it's quite the opposite. Gentleness, as we look at its expressions in the Bible, is a sign of strength, but a strength that is under control. And here in this passage, in Galatians 5, we see that it is the fruit of the Spirit. As we abide in Christ, this strength under control is expressed in our lives, in our witness, in the way we interact with each other. And I think this view of the horse under control is a beautiful picture. I often remember, too, Rick Layman on a couple of occasions has shared with me in looking at Matthew 5:5, the fruit of the, in the Beatitudes, is blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he would also mention, too, as part of the training process for the meek to meek a horse was actually to put a burning coal under the saddle of a horse. And if the horse was able to flinch but control itself from bucking and jumping and throwing the rider off, at that moment, the horse was determined to be meek because it could experience extreme pain and yet control itself so that it could still go according to the purposes of the rider or of its master. And I think, again, a beautiful picture of the biblical understanding of gentleness or meekness. Also in Matthew 5:5, where we talk about this, we see that two aspects of meekness. What does it mean to be meek, and what does inherit the earth mean? And meekness, one commentator says, is the rejection of injuries with a belief that God will vindicate us. Vengeance is his, he will repay. We see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. So the commentator says it becomes us to take his place, it little becomes us to take his place and to do what he has promised to do. God is the one who's in control. We can follow him. We can respond in gentleness because we know ultimately it is God who will seek vengeance. And then as Jesus continues to teach us in about the meekness inheriting the earth, what does it mean to inherit the earth? This might have been translated the land, and it's probable here that it's a reference to the manner that the Jews commonly express themselves to denote any kind of great blessing. And as we look in the Old Testament, we also see in Psalms, specifically verse 37, how the Hebrews, the Jews, would look at this idea of inheriting the land. So as we look at Psalm 37, verses 8 through 11, we read, "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." So here again, we see that as the fruit of the Spirit, specifically gentleness, is lived out in our lives, we see that what we are doing is ultimately trusting God, our Father, to do what he says he will do, to deliver his promises, that he will be the one to seek vengeance and justice. And we are to, in the power of the Spirit, express the fruit of gentleness and trust God for those results, and that he will fulfill his glorious promises to us and through us. Now, as we look at this concept of gentleness, it's good to understand, again, it's strength under control. It is something that is based in this idea that God is in control and he will fulfill his promises. But it's also important to see some examples in Scripture. And another commentator had said this about a meek person. In Jesus' time, a meek person was one who was obedient to the will of God, courteous, patient, and slow to anger. Most importantly, a meek person had self-control. Two people in the Bible are described as meek, Moses and Jesus. Both were forceful and determined men. Both were obedient to God's commands. So here we see that the two biblical examples that are lifted up as being gentle would be Moses and Jesus. Remember at the start, I said sometimes culture will teach us that gentleness is genderized. It's more female than male. Interestingly, in the Bible, gentle describes men and not women. And this is not to say that women cannot be gentle, but it just kind of changes the way we view gentleness in general. But here what we see is the key is that both Moses and Jesus were obedient to God's commands. So as we look at the two examples of when this is used, we'll first look at the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 12. And in verse 3, we see that the scripture tells us, Numbers 12, verse 3, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." And here, humble, Anan, can also mean meek or gentle. So Moses was a very gentle man or a very meek man, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, interesting in the context of this passage is this takes place after Moses' brother Aaron and sister Miriam challenge Moses. And in verse 2, Aaron and Miriam kind of say to him, "Has the Lord only spoken through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. He heard this grumbling from Miriam and Aaron. And Moses responded, actually, it was the Lord who responded and said, "I want the three of you to come out and meet me before the pillar of the cloud." And they did. And immediately Miriam developed leprosy. And the Lord said something very interesting. In verse 6, the Lord says, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord." So here we see when the Lord talks about what he has done and specifically responding to Moses, and in this passage, his gentleness, we see it's because Moses has a relationship, a friendship, a deep abiding with the Lord. And I think Miriam and Aaron lost track of that, and they started looking at what they were doing and the works and the outpouring. Does not the Lord also speak to us? And I think here we see that Moses, in facing opposition, he faced opposition from his family, his sister and his brother. Moses did not defend himself. Actually, the Lord stepped in and defended himself, just like we saw earlier in this passage on inheriting the land. Not seeking vengeance on his own, but trusting the Lord for that. And the Lord stepped in immediately in this situation and defended Moses. So here we can see, again, gentleness coming out as strength under control, not defending ourselves, trusting the Lord to defend us, and walking with him. And I think the secret here was, we talk in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, but here we see Moses abiding in God, basically a relationship that is very deep and very intimate. And I think that's what we as believers in Jesus Christ have because of the indwelling of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, which allows us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, and here specifically gentleness. Now, Jesus in his ministry used only two adjectives to describe himself. Other people called him other things, but Jesus really only used two adjectives to describe himself. And we see those in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And these verses just sweep us with an emotion of rest and comfort and protection in the Lord's presence. And what Jesus is saying of himself here is, "I am gentle and humble of heart. Learn of me, be discipled by me, and experience the same, and you will experience rest for your souls." Now, interestingly, in this passage, Matthew chapter 11, similar to Numbers 12, this is in a context of opposition. We see that John the Baptist, at the start of chapter 11, has been arrested. He's asking Jesus, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus starts answering questions about John and saying how John had been attacked and how people were attacking Jesus as well, causing him a glutton. And so Jesus was facing this opposition. He's answering questions. Then in verse 20, he talks about the judgment that is going to come upon the unrepentant cities. And then he goes into this beautiful description of coming to the Lord and resting in the Lord, being comforted in the Lord, and seeing the Lord take on our yoke to give us the rest that he has promised us. So interestingly, in Scripture, gentleness is seen in these two specific examples in the context of opposition, which begs the question, we can express gentleness literally all the time, but specifically the strength under control, trusting God to judge for us and to speak for us. It comes in the context of opposition. So sometimes we sit there and say, well, Lord, you have brought me into some difficult times. How are you going to express your Holy Spirit through me at this time? So as we bring these thoughts on the fruit of gentleness to a close, I want to ask us a few questions to consider, to pray about, and to ask how God can use or can bring the fruit of gentleness, even make it even more evident in our lives. The first question is this. In your relationships at your home, with your friends, at school or at work, or wherever you are, where are you experiencing opposition? Where are you experiencing maybe attack, confusion, any kind of opposition? Name those out. What are those? What are those areas of opposition? Once you have done that, I want you to ask yourself a question. How can you express gentleness in this particular relationship this coming week? In this area of opposition, in this area of trial or confusion, how can you express gentleness? And again, remember that as we saw in the example of Moses and Numbers chapter 12, it came from his relationship with God, his friendship with God, and in Jesus being abiding completely, doing the Father's will and abiding in the power of the Holy Spirit. In that same vein, how can you be filled with the Spirit and express gentleness in this relationship this week? And lastly, for both encouragement and accountability, who can you ask to join you in prayer for the fruit of gentleness to be evident in your life this week? Again, who can you ask to join you in prayer for the fruit of gentleness to be evident in your life this week? So again, it's been a joy to be with you today. Again, we look forward to the time when we can be face to face again. But until then, until we're together, in person together, let's ask God through his Holy Spirit to fill us with his fruit of the Spirit, so that we can have an encouraging, serving one another, loving one another, and also a triumphal witness to those who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you have made the fruit of the Spirit evident to us all and applicable to us all and real for us all. I pray specifically this week for my brothers and sisters and for me that we will have an opportunity, whether it's through strong opposition or maybe confusion, to express the fruit of gentleness as we interact with each other so that we can love each other well and serve each other well. We pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.